1 Samuel 21. Just going to read a couple of verses there. I'm going to read verse 12, 13, 14, 15. 1 Samuel 21. And I'm serious, if you can't find that, just look up here. I'm going to read it. 1 Samuel. I'm not being facetious. I'm just being honest. Because I want you to know what it says. 1 Samuel 21. You there? Verse 12. And David laid up these words in his heart and was, well, let me back up a little bit. I got to back up. Verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Now go over to Psalms 56. Brother Hamlin would say, that's in the middle part of your Bible. Psalm 56. I'm going to read this psalm. It says, be merciful unto me. Well, let me start where it starts. To the chief musician upon Jonath, Elim, Rechokim. Michtam of David. When the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. Lord, bless now. We're going to look at this psalm. Thank you for David. You used him to pen this so that we could have it. We know it was through the power of your Holy Spirit, leadership of your Holy Spirit, he was able to give us these words. Now, Lord, there's much truth here for us to see. And I pray that you would bless in the time we're going to spend. You would help me to share that which you've laid on my heart to share. And Lord, what we see and what we learn would be a help to every person here. And again, we're concerned about anyone that's here and everyone that's here without Christ, that haven't been saved, that don't know for sure when they die they're going to go to heaven, that have never had their sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for any and all that are here like that today, that today they don't allow us the privilege of opening your word and showing them from your word how they can know they have eternal life and their sins are forgiven. God help us today. We simply need you and rely on you and look to you and call upon you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, What Time I Am Afraid. What Time I Am Afraid. The subject of the message this morning is fear. Fear. First of all, let me say that in our society, fear is usually branded as a negative thing. In our society, fear is often equated with weakness or cowardice. However, fear is in reality not always a bad thing. For instance, fear of getting a ticket can keep you from speeding in your car. I was thinking about that, and I thought fear should keep us from speeding in our car. But if you drive on the highways, you find that fear is not in many people. But it can. If you find somebody driving the speed limit, why are they doing that? Don't want to get a ticket. I thought about fear of getting shocked can keep you from sticking your finger into a light socket. Anybody in here go around doing that? No. Why? I'm fearful. I don't want that buzz that comes, and I know if I do that, it's going to happen. Fear of having an accident can keep you from driving on icy roads. I'm not demeaning anybody, but sometimes people say, well, I can't come to church. Roads are too bad. And I understand that. And fear of being audited can keep you honest when you file your income tax return. Did I have to say that? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I try to be honest. Why? Because I don't want them writing me a letter and saying, bring all your stuff, we want to say it, blah, blah, blah. So fear is often looked upon as a negative, but fear can be a very positive thing. Now, so that's the first thing. Fear is not always bad. Second thing I want you to realize about fear is that we all deal with fear. No one is completely fearless. I've met some people say, I don't fear anything. Well, I'll talk more about that in a minute. But thirdly, I said we all have fear, but we do not all have the same fears. What one person fears may not bother another person. Some people fear heights. Some people fear bugs. Some people fear being alone. Some people fear financial loss. Some people fear germs, germaphobe. Some people fear snakes. Some people fear public speaking. And we can just go on with the list how different people have different fears, but we all have fears. Now, I was thinking about this. I have seen a bumper sticker that says, no fear. And when I see it, I chuckle to myself. And I'm thinking anybody who would make that statement is either a blatant liar or has the mindset of a fool. Only a fool would not have a fear of some things. Now, brings us back to our text for today. As we read verse 4 or 3, David writes, What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We saw over in 1 Samuel how it said David was afraid. And you know, he's writing at a time when he's being held prisoner by the Philistines. The Philistines were his arch enemies. Goliath was Philistine. They hated David. And so David is down there, he's a prisoner of the Philistines, and his life is in great danger. And we find him here openly declaring that David is experiencing fear. Now, that was kind of amazing to me when I read it. Because I got to thinking that here's David, the great warrior. Here's David who killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands. Here's David who killed Goliath with a sling and a stone. And here's David saying, I fear. He was willing to admit feeling fear. Then he rehearses in this psalm, I believe, what he's going to do in response to his fear or how he's going to handle his fear. So here's where we are. We all have fears. What we need to learn is how to handle our fears. And that's what we're going to look at today. What time I am afraid, David says. Let's learn to respond properly when we have fears. I'm going to give you some ways we can do that. The first way is by replacing fear with faith. That's what David says in verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David resolved to replace his fear with faith in the Lord. He acknowledged, yeah, I'm fearful. But he knew the remedy for his fear, the answer to his fear, was to put his faith and trust in the one who loved him and he knew in a personal way could take care of him. You know, fear comes when faith falters. I'm going to say that again. Fear comes when faith falters. Believers fear when they take their eyes off of God and they begin to focus on their circumstances. David was in a very dangerous place. He's captive of the Philistines. He doesn't know what his fate is going to be. And he's fearful. I thought about, and you know, David's kind of looking around his circumstances and he's saying, I'm in a bad place. I thought about Peter. We all know the story of how Peter was walking on the water. He was doing fine, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But the Bible says he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. What happened? He lost his faith. He began to see the storm instead of the Savior. He began to see the sea instead of the Savior. He began to see that this isn't something I can do. He wasn't doing it in his own power. He was doing it in the power of Jesus, but he took his eyes off of him. And he lost the power. Our circumstances can seem to be overwhelming sometimes. I'm sure most of you have been there from time to time. Sometimes it seems like it's impossible to overcome or survive. And that's the point when we have to have faith. Somebody said a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. It's easy to have faith when everything's going well. You know, David, when he was doing other things, I'm sure it was easier to have faith when he was winning battles and killing Goliath and slaying a bear and a lion. It's easier to have faith then. But when your neck's on the line, and you're just not sure. Watch, and it's out of your control. That's what we've got to have faith. And you see, fear can be debilitating and destructive. Fear can paralyze you. Fear can keep people from doing things. God rest her soul. My wife's sister is in heaven now. She lived from the time she was about 20 years old. She passed away last year. Wouldn't go anywhere. The furthest she would go from home was to walk down the street and talk to a neighbor. She had some kind of phobia that she feared getting out in the world. And see, that kept her from enjoying the rest of the world. All she was able to know was that little half a block from my house. Fear can do that to you. Fear can traumatize. It can affect you mentally and cause reactions. I'll pick on my wife for a minute. When we were in Jacksonville, she got a job at a car dealership across the St. John's River. We were on the west side. Her job was on the other side. A lady from church helped her, and so she had this job. But to get there, she had to drive over, I believe it was the Acosta Bridge in Jacksonville, which was a big bridge. My wife can't handle bridges very well. Now, she can grit her teeth and make it if she's with me, but she was driving to work by herself. She only had that job a month or two. She said, I got to find another job. I can't take that bridge. She just, so it kept her from being able to go over there. And that's what fear can do to us. And I'm not demeaning her for it. It's just fact of life. Our fears can keep us from things. Fear can neutralize us. Fear can keep people from doing what they ought to do. And the fact is, many believers allow fear to keep them from doing what God told them to do in witnessing, teaching Sunday school classes, being involved in church or singing a special, whatever it is. A lot of people have the ability, but they will not do it because they fear. You know, the antidote for fear is to trust in the Lord. Go over there to Psalms 34. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. See, we need to learn to get to the Lord. We need to learn to put our trust in him. And remember, we're in his hands. David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust thee. You know, the old advertisement, some of you might remember, some of you old-timers. And, you know, back when we used to have to get up to turn the channel on television, the dark age, when it was black and white TV, and, you know, you had them antennas on top of it, and it was all snowy. Yeah, some of you have been there. But there was an advertisement said, you're in good hands with Allstate. Nah, I'm in good hands with my Lord. See, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm still in his hands. He didn't dump me out. He didn't throw me away. I'm still there. And he's still in control. We need to never forget that. And we need to remember, David said, God is greater than all our enemies. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. And we just need to put our faith in him. So number one, when fear comes, we need to respond by replacing our fear with faith, and then secondly, by resolving to go on. I want you to look at this psalm, verse 3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Verse 4. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Then we skip down to verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. And verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David keeps saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. You know what he's saying? I'm not going to quit. I'm going to take action. And we need to learn when fear comes, we need to resolve, I'm not going to let fear stop me. I'm going to keep going. Six times he declares, I will. He was going to continue on for God as much as he could. He refused to let his fears keep him from functioning. I thought about this. I thought, you know, this is a fact. Living for God requires resolve. What do you mean? Living for God does not just happen. I've said many times, I wish that it was so that when you got saved, God opened your head and dumped stuff in and dictated, from now on you're going to live for me. But it don't happen that way. God gave us a free will that normally gets us in trouble. In other words, God gives us the opportunity to choose to live for him or to refuse to live for him. But you see, God also has conditions on this. He says, if you'll live for me, boy, I got blessings and things, and I'm going to take care of you. But if you don't want to live for me, that's fine, but you're going to be on your own. I often liken it to these two aisles. This is God's will right here, and living for him. And all along there, God has blessings and care and all those things that I need. They're all right here. And he said, just stay true to me, man. It's right there. But he said, you don't have to. If you want to, if you want your own will, that's okay too. But I want you to understand, if you go your own way, I'm not going to bless you like over there. You're going to be going through the thorns and the thickets and the difficult places. And ain't no blessings hanging out over here. They're all over there. Some Christians, I don't know why God's not blessing me. Because you're over here and the blessings are over there. You need to change some things. Amen. You see, God wants to bless you. You're his child. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who are his. So why aren't you getting blessed? Well, God just has favorites. No, he don't. No, God has a path for you, and he says, hey, follow me. I got all kinds of blessings. We need to resolve. And we need to resolve because there's great opposition to those who try to live for the Lord. It's not an easy thing. If you're trying to live for the Lord, you can give me an amen on that. Not an easy thing. We got forces coming against us. We got Satan. We got the flesh. We got the world. We got ourselves. We got all kinds of things coming against us, and we're trying to live for God. What we're doing is swimming upstream. You ever see those salmon trying to do that? You ever tried to swim against the current? That's a hard thing, and that's what we're doing every day of our life. So it's not going to happen. Listen, if you're just going with the world's current, it's pretty easy. You know, way back when, my wife and I took the kids to Christian camp over here on the Delaware River, and we used to go tubing. How many of you have been tubing on the Delaware? Yeah, it was fun. But you know what I found out? You look at that Delaware River, it looks kind of calm, doesn't it? Doesn't it? On the surface, it looks calm and peaceful, like a slow, you know, you could just get on it. But you know what I found out? When you get on that river, there's currents. And they're moving fast. And if you get in that current, it's going to take you. One time we was tubing, and we were coming to the island. Now, when you tube, they took us up to Frenchtown, dropped us off, and we would tube back to the island. Well, they told us, now when you get near the island, hug the shore. Because if you don't, you're going to get in the current. It's going to take you right around the island. Then we got to come to Philadelphia and get you. So we were doing fine, and we got near the shore. We had the kids with us. I got over by the shore, and the kids got over by the shore. And some of the other folks with us got over by the shore. One person didn't. She was on her way to Philadelphia. Yeah, and she would have went, except some people saw what was going on and got out there at the island and pulled her in. Now, what happened? She got with the current. And the current takes you where it wants to go, not where you want to go. Christian. So, we need to live for the Lord. That means we're swimming against the current. Because that's where God wants us to go. But when we give that up and we just say, well, you know, I'm just going to live like the world, then you're going to go where the world wants to take you. Ooh. So we need to make a decision. Bless God, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to be wishy-washy. I'm going to battle my flesh. By the way, you know your flesh isn't saved. Yeah. When you got saved, your spirit got saved, but your flesh didn't get saved. So your flesh don't want to live for God. You figured that out yet? That's why every once in a while, unless you're careful, that old flesh will, boy, he'll take control. Yeah, and when the flesh is in control, you are capable of any wicked deed that the unsaved man is capable of. Because that's how he lives, by the flesh. So we got to fight the battle. We live in direct opposition. We're swimming against the tide. And living for God doesn't just happen naturally. It takes a decision, and it takes determination, and it takes discipline, and it takes decisiveness if we're really going to live for God. You know, some of you, you just need to make a decision. Some of you have been playing that game of trying to ride the fence. You want to be a Christian, but you don't want to abandon the world. Let me tell you something, friends. Sooner or later, you're going to come down on one side of that fence or the other. It'd be a whole lot better for you just make the decision, I'm getting off here. I'm going on God's side. That's where I'm going to be. So, when the situation seems hopeless, we need to press on. I thought about Esther. Remember when it seemed so hopeless for them? And Mordecai went to her, told her, you got to go to the king. And what did she say? If I perish, I perish. She's going to press on. She's not concerned if it costs her life, because she's just going to keep going. Peter and the disciples over in the book of Acts, a couple of times they were called into the authorities, beaten, and told, don't go out there and preach Jesus anymore. As soon as they got out there, they were preaching Jesus again. And what did Peter tell those authorities? They said, you got to shut up or we're going to kill you. He said, I got to obey God rather than men. That's how we need to be. So, we need to respond properly to fear by replacing fear with faith, resolving to go on. Number three, remembering God's promises. David's trust was based upon God's word. Look at verse 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Verse 10, in God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. Where did David get his strength? From the word of God. See, David knew the promises of God. And that's what he's resting on. That's where he's getting his resolve. That's where he's getting his strength. That's what he's using to fight his fears. He's claiming all those things that God had promised him. And you know, when we fear, the best thing we can do is get in this book and find the promises of God. You know, the believer's trust must be based on God's word, not on man's word. You know, man will disappoint you. How many of you have ever had somebody break a promise? See, God will never break a promise. Our own hearts can deceive us. We can't trust our hearts. No, we got to trust the word of God. We got to get in the book, find out what God said. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we need to study God's word. We need to learn his promises. He made a promise of salvation to all who come to him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I claim that promise. I came to Christ and I got saved. He's made a promise of protection from the evil one in 1 John 4:4 and Ephesians chapter 6. He made a promise of providing for us in Matthew 6:33. He made a promise of a way of escape from temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13. His promise over there in Hebrews to never leave us nor forsake us. His promise to provide help for us in a time of need in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. And many, many more. I don't have time to even start to touch on the promises of God. But listen, the promises of God can do away with our fears, can help us to focus on the one who's made all these promises. Problem is, too many Christians don't read the book. Nice decoration on your coffee table. Nice thing to carry back and forth from church so everybody thinks you're a good Christian reading your Bible. But listen, we need to get in it every day. Then number four, I can resolve to go on. I need to resolve to go on in the time of fear by refusing to fear man. David says in verse 4. I'm sorry. Nope. He says in verse. Verse 4, the latter part. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. But he said it again in verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Verse 11. So we need to understand, we don't need to fear what man can do to us. You know what we need to fear? We need to fear God. You know, David refused to fear what men could do to him. Now, he's in a bad place. He's under arrest. He's fleeing from Saul. And in verses 1 and 2, he talks about how many people are after him. The reason he's with the Philistines is Saul was chasing and trying to kill him. So he went down there and thought maybe he could go down to the Philistines, and Saul couldn't get at him. And if you'll read on, when he got down, he started acting like a crazy man, you know, and like he was wacko, and they didn't kill him. But that's what he was up to. He's being chased, and somebody wants to kill him, so he's going down to the Philistines and maybe seek refuge there. So now he's a prisoner of them. Well, boy, you talk about going out of the frying pan into the fire. Saul wants to kill him, but he's running from Saul, but now he's a prisoner of the Philistines, and they hate him because he killed Goliath. He killed their hero. He's in a bad place. But you know, he knew man couldn't do anything to him that God wouldn't let him do. And that's what we need to come back to. We need to not fear what man can do to us. Our enemies abound. Believers are despised, hated by other religions. We're despised and hated by the wicked, the homosexual, the abortionist, the pornography crowd, the Hollywood crowd, the liquor crowd, the liberal crowd, the progressives in politics, and all and all I can go about people who hate us. But listen, we don't need to fear what man can do to us. We need to fear God. Man can only do what God allows. Everything that happens to us has to come across God's desk, so to speak. He don't ordain it all, but he has to allow it. Man thinks he's his own authority. Man thinks he can do what he wants to do. But you know, man can only do what God allows to do. So many times we lose sight of the fact that God's in control, and we begin to fear people and authorities. Listen, I don't like a lot of what our government's up to. Now, I like the changes I'm seeing. But in the last few years, we've had a lot of government oppression on Christianity, on Christians, on biblical morality. Wow. And you know, the persecution could come on us at any day as a church. They'd love nothing better than to shut us down and shut us up. But see, I don't sit around and worry about that every day. No, that's in God's hands. If he lets that happen, then that's his design. That's his plan. I just need trust in him. I don't need to fear man. The fear of man, the Bible says over in Proverbs, bringeth a snare. Man's going to do a lot to hinder us, oppress, discriminate, demean, lie on. Don't let it happen. One final thought. When we fear, we need to properly handle it by renewing my vows to God. In verse 12, David said, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee." I think there came a moment there where David remembered some vows he had made to God. And maybe some he hadn't kept. He's rehearsing the decisions he had made for God. He says, I'm remembering, Lord. And again, I personally believe he's remembering something he slipped on. And it might well be that right there he's getting right with God and saying, okay, I know I made that vow. I'm going to remember it. Mm-hmm. When I get out of this mess, I'm going to keep it, whatever it was. But you know, a lot of times believers make vows to God, and it's like New Year's resolutions. You know, the average New Year's resolution lasts about 4 days. Some of them last maybe 2 weeks. But they don't last long. If you want to do a little more research, find out how many gym memberships last beyond the second week of January. People get the Christmas bulge. Too many cookies, too much turkey, all that kind of mess. Oh, I got to join the gym. They go down there January 1st, join the gym. And they go January 2nd, and maybe they go January 4th. I'm not going every day. I'll go every other day. And then they skip a few days. I got to go to the gym. And then skip a week. And then they skip. Huh? Listen, for some Christians, their vows don't last any longer than New Year's resolutions. What are you talking about? Preacher preaches, God gets a hold of their heart. Maybe they're reading their Bible. God gets a hold of their heart. Yes, Lord, I'm going to change that. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do this. Yes, Lord, I'm going to stop doing that. Yes, Lord, I'm making a vow to you. I'm making a promise to you. And maybe they even come to the altar and they do business with God about it. And they get off their face and they go home and a day or two they're good. But pretty soon that vow goes right out the window. Listen, maybe you need to renew some of your vows. Maybe God's bringing to your memory some things you promised him and you haven't kept your promise. I'm thinking about tent meeting. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I'm thinking about tent meeting. Invitations for people going soul winning. And people would come and kneel at that altar and say, yes, I'm going soul winning. And we never see them. Well, wait a minute, you made a vow to God. Sometimes people come and say, yes, I'm going to get involved in the ministry. I'm going to work at a Sunday school. I'm going to run a bus ride. I'm going to do something. And by Sunday night, that vow's gone out the window. Oh, I'm going to quit this, Lord. I'm going to quit that. I know it's wrong. I shouldn't be doing it. Oh, I know you've convicted my heart. Go right back to it. Listen, God says, it's better to not make a vow than make a vow and not keep it. If you made some vows now, you need to get right with it. Get back on track. See, because God took you seriously. He does that. When we come and make a promise to him, he takes us seriously. And he's expecting you to keep it. Fear comes. Every person in this room experiences fear. Some of it's good. Some of it can really be a problem if we don't know how to handle it. David gives us some tips. Here are some things to do when you're fearing. And I don't know everybody's situation in this room today. Maybe you're fearing today. Maybe some pressures are on you, some things happening, and you're fearful of what's going to happen. Employ these things, David said. Plug them in. God don't want you to be fear. The Bible says God didn't call us to be fearful. We're to be of a sound mind. God's speaking to you today. Let him have his way. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for David. Thank you for his example here of handling when he was afraid. Lord, he was in a real bad place. Saul was trying to kill him. And now he's with the Philistines, and they hate him, and they want to kill him. And Lord, he said, what time he's afraid, he'll look to you. Help us. Help us in those times of fear to handle it the right way, to respond in the right way, that we might glorify and please you in every way. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want